Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Jono. I'm one of the pastors in residence here this summer, and if I haven't had a chance to meet you, I'm excited to share just a short little time together as we talk about how to hear God's voice. And I have been a Christian for, about 37, 30-something years. I'm 43. My mom's right back here. Lee, and she introduced me to Jesus when I was just a kid, and had the, you know, very similar story to Bill Butterworth, where I invited Jesus to be a part of my life many, many times growing up. And I think for a long time, I thought God's voice was just for the big moments in life, like what job I was going to get, where I was going to go to school, who I was going to marry. I didn't realize, I think, until much later in life that God wants to talk to us every single day. He wants to speak to our hearts every single moment, if he can. He's always talking, and he's always with us. And so I'm still leaning into that. So I just want to share some thoughts about just my journey. I have thought about, Christianity isn't just about believing the right things and doing the right things. That's kind of what I thought the faith life was for a long time, but it's really about being with God. It's about doing life with God. It's an adventure of listening to his voice and responding to his voice, and then listening to his voice again and responding to it, and it's this adventure we get to go on with him. And so I do think conversation with God is essential if we're going to grow in our relationship with him. So let's pray. Let's ask God to speak to us. I'm just going to share some things, then I'm going to have us do a little exercise about kind of tuning into God's voice, how we do that. And I'm going to leave you with a couple tips on hopefully that you can take with you and tune into God's voice on your own. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your love. Your deep, deep, unending love for us. God, we just pause and are grateful that you are a God who speaks, that you didn't leave us alone without your voice, but your voice is a voice of love and power and tenderness and comfort and peace. Help us to know how to tune into your voice today as we listen. As we read some scriptures together, God, would you speak to each individual heart here and encourage them today? In your name, amen. All right, well, God, you know, he really did create us. I think what's the first most essential thing to think about in this topic is that God created us for friendship with him. He didn't create us to just be servants of him. He created us to have an intimate friendship relationship with him. Let me just start by reading John 15, 14. You've probably heard this verse many times over. Jesus said to us, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I have called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you." So what is the nature of our relationship with God like? We're told he's our Father. We're told he's our friend. There's this essential nature of we need to communicate with him. He needs to communicate with us. It's not about him just telling us what to do all the time. You know, I think of my kids and raising up my kids. My job as a parent is not to completely tell them every second of every day what they should be doing. Hopefully we have a relationship and they've gleaned some things. They know my heart. They know that I'm for them. They know that I've set up boundaries for them. They know how to live a little bit independently and spontaneously. And then they know how to come and have conversation with me and keep growing and keep learning. And we get to keep having a relationship together. I think that's what God wants for us too. He wants us to come to him, to know his heart. So we do know how to interact with him, and we know how to communicate with him, but we also know how to act spontaneously in the way of his heart, in the way that he wants us to. And so there's this kind of tension we live with about being independent and also being in communication with God. But I think what's important, and the book on the bottom I recommend about this is Dallas Willard, Hearing God. Dallas Willard talks about how God does not want to just tell us what to do every moment. He's not a helicopter parent. He's a parent that loves us. He wants us to know his heart, and he wants us to listen to him, but he also wants us to act spontaneously in his love and know what to do without hearing every single moment. That's not how he's going to communicate with us. So I think that's important for us to remember. I remember singing this hymn as a kid here in the sanctuary, a hymn many of you know. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none has ever known. And I don't think I realized this is what the Christian life is about. It's about walking and talking and enjoying God's presence. That is what it is. It's not just about believing and doing and striving and trying to do my best for God. Those are great things, but it's about being in relationship with him. And all he ever really wanted is your heart. That's all he wants, is to know your heart, and he wants to speak to your heart. And I think that's how he guides us. So there's a quote by Brother Lawrence. He says this: there's not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of continual conversation with God. Only those can comprehend it who practice it and experience it. Yet I do not advise that you do it from that motive. It's not pleasure we ought to seek in this exercise, but let us do it from a principle of love. And just that motivation of loving God, that's what we want, to hear his voice, because we love him and we want to know him more and better. You know, the Bible is filled with people who God spoke to, isn't it? We read all the Bible stories, God speaking to Moses and Noah and Abraham and Jesus and Paul, and it's just filled with God speaking. Even at the very beginning of the Bible, it's God spoke the world into existence. He used his voice. And for some reason, I think many of us just don't think God speaks in the same ways. But he does. He speaks in many, many different ways. So we're going to get to some things that hinder our listening in our relationship with God. And then we're going to get to some ways that God speaks so we can tune into his voice a little more. Let me first share just a story. When we get to the hindering part, the Tomatis effect, I put that on your outline there. There was a doctor in the 50s who treated a man, a famous opera singer. I think it was 1959 or something. Dr. Tomatis was his name. And this opera singer had lost the ability to hit certain notes in his range. And most people were testing his vocal cords, but Dr. Tomatis actually tested his hearing. And he realized that this opera singer had made himself deaf because his voice was so loud. So there were different parts of his hearing. He could no longer hear tones that he used to be able to hear. And if you can't hear a tone, you can't sing a tone. So this disease or this condition became known as the Tomatis effect. And that, I think it's a spiritual metaphor for us, that maybe voices in our life, maybe it's our own voice or the voice of our parents or the voice of our friends or the voice of the world, they've become so loud in our life that we can't hear the voice of God anymore. We can't hear him because our voice is too loud. So let me take us to 1 Kings 19, a story that you guys no doubt know, and this is the story of Elijah. When the Lord appears to Elijah. So this is, let me just give you a little context before we read this. And Elijah had just come off of Mount Carmel, you know, where he saw God do this amazing miracle. There was this battle between the gods of Baal and the God of Israel, and the God of Israel showed up, and the gods of Baal did not show up. And so he had this incredible victory, and yet he runs out into the wilderness desperate to hear God's voice. He's running away. He hears that Queen Jezebel wants to kill him, and so he's running away, and he's fleeing, and he's desperate to hear God's voice, and so he goes into the wilderness, and there the word of the Lord came to him, and God said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand on the mountain," the Lord said, "in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord's about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice of the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And then he hears a command from the Lord, and he hears comfort from the Lord, I believe. And that word for whisper in the Hebrew really is silence. It's quietness. And, you know, I think it's wonderful to just recognize that God's preferred communication with us is whispering. And when I think about whispering, I think about my kids, whispering to my kids, whispering to my wife. You know, you whisper to people that you're close to. You have to get really close and personal, and you got to get up to their ear, and you get to tell them that you love them, and you get to tell them secrets, and you get to tell them things that are only for them. And I believe that's God's voice. That's God's heart for you. He wants to speak to you like that in a whisper where it's just for you. And maybe he's going to use that for someone else, but he does want to speak to your heart personally. And so why don't we hear his voice more? Why don't we hear his voice more? Let me get to some of the ways that we hinder, are hindered. The first one is just that we are surrounded by noise. We're surrounded by noise. Isn't it so easy to just turn on the noise in our lives? Anybody else have that issue when they wake up? You can just turn on the TV, you can turn on music, you can turn on your email, you can turn on your phone, you can turn on, just noise starts to come in. And we're so surrounded by noise, we need to figure out a way to eliminate some noise in our life so we could hear God's voice more. I love this little formula: a change of pace and a change of place. I don't know if it says it on there. Maybe it says a change of pace twice. A change of pace and a change of place equals a change in perspective. And I think one of the ways we eliminate noise in our life is by changing the pace of our life and changing the place. So we got to come to a place like Mount Hermon, or we go to a place in our city where we have a spot that, you know, we spend time with God, and we can eliminate the noise and not be surrounded so much by noise. We see Jesus did this all the time, don't we, in the Gospels? Jesus withdrew to a quiet place. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to hear God's voice. He wanted to sit with God and hear what God was going to share, what the Father was going to share with him. So the second one, we're too distant. We're too far away. James 4:7 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." I think some of us, we can't hear God's voice because we feel distant. We feel like God is too far out there. He's too far, or we've walked too far away. And so we hinder hearing his voice because we think we're far away. When in reality, God is close. He's really close. He's come 999 steps towards you. And all you need to do is take one step back towards him, and he will meet you right there. He is near to you. He's not far, but we feel distant. So just, we got to remember that. Third, we don't recognize his voice. We don't recognize his voice. We hear this in John 10, that his sheep follow him because they know his voice. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. And then Psalm 95:7-8, "Today, if you would only hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as they did. don't harden your hearts, if you would only hear his voice. There's a sense that we need to know the quality. We need to know the voice of God. And for some of us, we just don't know what his voice sounds like, you know, in our own spirit. Or we've lost touch with it. I think about, again, my own kids or even my parents over here. I know their voices. I know the quality. I know the tone. I know the inflection of their voices. I know, you know, the people you know what their voice sounds like. And so some of us, we need to learn and to recognize the voice of God. What does his tone sound like? And we need to, I think through scripture, we get that. We're gonna talk about that a little bit, but just knowing that first and foremost, it's a tone of love for you. Some of us think God's tone is frustrated or judgmental or he's mad at us for some reason. And it's really God is loving. He wants to pour out his love on you today. So knowing that his tone is just one of love as you come to him. So we don't recognize his voice. And then the last one, 4, is just we're not interested. I think some of us, we just get, you know, we got our own things going on. Have you ever been around with someone in the workplace or maybe on a mass transit or somewhere where they just got headphones and they're just kind of like, you know, blocking everyone out. They make sure that they tell people around them they don't want to hear their voice. I think sometimes we walk around with headphones on and we're not interested in hearing God's voice for some reason. We're happy with just our version of Christianity and our life, and God might, man, he might tell me I have to move to China and be a missionary or something, and I don't know that I want to hear that. I'm happy where I live in Santa Barbara, and, you know, it's some of us, there's a fear almost in hearing God's voice, and we're happy with just the version of Christianity that we're living. But God wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to live this adventure with him. And I love the Solomon 2:4. I think I put that on your thing, that he brought me to his banqueting table and his banner over me is love. There's an old song we used to sing. He brought me to his banqueting table, that God wants to bring you to the table with him and he wants to talk with you. And his banner over you is love. He's gonna only share things and push you in ways that, because he loves you. There's no other reason that God's gonna speak to you. So you don't need to be afraid of his voice. We need to want it, right? And I think that's part of it, is just coming to God every day and say, God, I wanna hear your voice. What does it sound like? Help me. Help me to tune in more and more to your voice. So here's a few ways God speaks. The first, and I think the most obvious and also the most prevalent and the most common way, is through scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, that every part of scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for showing us truth, for exposing our rebellion, for correcting our mistakes, for training us to live in God's way. Through the word, we are put together and we're shaped for God, for the tasks that God has for us. I think that's the Message version, but I love that through God's word, we're put together. He puts us together through his voice, the word of God, and he shapes us for the task that he has for us that day. So scripture is the first way and the most common way, and it's the way that we filter all the other, I think, ways we hear God's voice. We need to check it with scripture, because scripture is the measure, it's his written truth, you know? And so anytime we hear God's voice in another way, we need to match it up with scripture, because God's not gonna say anything to us that goes against what his scripture has told us, right? So how do we do this? How do we hear God's voice in scripture? You know, we talk a lot about this at our church, that the Bible is not just for information, it's for transformation. We do get a lot of information, and some of us can become information junkies, and we just want to know everything about the Bible, which is awesome, but God really meant it to speak to you, to be living and active in your life, to transform your heart and your mind. And an experience I had, I want to share. About a year ago, I go backpacking with some guys, and we just take some time each day to reflect on a different verse as we're hiking, because when you're hiking, 10, 12 miles, you have a lot of time to think. And so it's great to just put, you know, a verse in our heads so that we can walk and listen to God in it. And so the verse we had for this one day was, deep cries to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. And we're walking along lots of rivers and waterfalls. And so it was really just a beautiful verse for us to think about. And I just kept walking and walking, and I just don't understand what that verse means. Deep cries to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. God, what do you want to say to me? You know, and I just kept chewing on it and meditating on it and walking and walking all day. And finally, I was kind of frustrated because I didn't really get the verse. I didn't understand it. I didn't have any study helps to help me dissect it or anything. I just said, God, just tell me what this means, you know? And finally, he just said, you know, I just kind of felt the prompting, just go sit by this waterfall. You don't need to be anywhere today. You're here out in the wilderness with me. Just go sit by this waterfall. And so I sat there and I just listened to a waterfall, the roar of a waterfall. And just to see water come and come and never stop. It's amazing. Have you ever sat by a giant waterfall and it kind of blows your mind, like, how is this not getting any smaller? It just keeps going. And we're, you know, it's got to run out eventually. But day after day after day after day for years, these waterfalls, they just keep going and going and going. And so I just sat there and listened to the waterfall. And God, I think as I stopped, as I slowed down, God was able to speak to me through this passage and say, you know, the deepest part of your soul, I can fill the deepest part, the deepest needs, the deepest desires. Deep cries to deep. The depth of my love is going to speak to the deepest parts of your desires and souls. And I just enjoyed sitting at that waterfall and just reflecting on this verse, and it's okay. Don't worry about it. So I think partly we need to slow down when we read scripture, and we need to figure out how to hear God's voice as we read his word. And sometimes that's physically just sitting in one place and just chewing and meditating. Reading is kind of the first bite. I like how someone put it. Reading's the first bite. Meditation is chewing on it. Prayer, and then you pray through it. That's like savoring it and contemplating it, and then digesting and absorbing it into your life is like living it out. You know, what is God, what do you want me to do because of this verse, because of this? What do you want me to do in my life today? Speak to me. There's a great practice called dwell in the word, and it's basically reading the scripture three times, reading a passage of scripture three times. And the first time you read it through, you pick out a word or a phrase that stands out to you, and you just kind of write that down and sit with it for a little bit. The second time you read through it, you say, where does this passage intersect with my life? And then the third time you read it again, and then you ask God, what am I to do because of this passage? And so it's just a way, you could do this in a small group, you could do this with your husband or wife, you could do this with your kids, and it's just a small way to slow down and listen to his voice in scripture. I really do believe we need to slow ourselves down. That's when I hear God's voice, is when I'm slow. Can you go as slow as God? Someone once said. You know, we're fast-paced people. We appreciate productivity and fast things that come to us in a fast pace. But God does not speak quickly. He speaks slowly and gently to us. The second one's desires. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord. I think a lot of us in Christendom, maybe we have this idea that's a lie, that God wants to keep us from having fun, or from, he wants to keep us in our place. He doesn't. He wants us to delight in him. He wants us to delight in life and the greatness of what he's given us and what he wants us to do. He wants us to live fully in the design and the gifts he's given to us, just kind of how Bill shared this morning, that special, unique gift that you've been given. He wants you to delight in that. And I think we need to listen to, what do we really desire What is it? What are the desires that God has put in our hearts? What are the emotions that God has, you know, lets us feel? What are those things that that either frustrate us or that make us pound our fist, or the things that make us delight? You know, those. I think listening to those things, that's God's going to speak through our emotions and through those things that are happening to us. Those awkward moments you have in your day with someone, or those awkward conversations. That's a moment sometimes where the Holy Spirit, I think, is turning up the volume a little bit and saying, listen to me. Here's what I want you to hear. And he wants to speak to us in those moments. Jesus came up and asked the question to someone, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Do you remember that story? A guy that needed to be healed. I think if Jesus walked into the average church and asked the average person, what do you want me to do to you? I don't know that many of us would have a very good answer for that. What do you want me to do? But God speaks to us through our desires. And so we need to get in touch. What do you want? What does God want to use those desires for? So writing those down and journaling those is helpful. Taking inventory, listening to our emotions, getting in touch with our heart. Again, that takes slowing down. That takes stopping. And that I love that image that Bill gave us today of the fulcrum, the reflection part. That is so crucial in our lives. And our lives just are becoming faster and faster and faster. And that reflection, that's where we get in touch with those desires that God has placed in our hearts. And that's what he's going to speak through. He's going to speak to us in those desires. Let me go to doors. This is the third one. God uses doors to speak to us and to lead us. Isaiah 22:22 says, I will give him the key to the house of David, the highest position in the royal court. When he opens doors, no one will be able to close them. When he closes doors, no one will be able to open them. So God speaks to us through doors. This passage, interestingly, is a reference to a man named Eliakim in David's palace. Eliakim was the mayor of the palace, basically. He had the key that could open and shut every door. He had the all-access pass to the palace. And so he holds the key. This is kind of in Isaiah, it's kind of a messianic foreshadow of Jesus, who is the one who's going to hold the key. And Jesus is the one who's going to be able to open every door and shut every door. And so as we think about how God speaks to us, he speaks through open doors and closed doors, right? Maybe you think about that in your life. I think in my own life, thinking of God opening a door for me to start up here at Mount Hermon in ministry, and that God called me here to counsel students, and then he opened up another door and another door and another door and closed other doors that I was looking at. And I heard his voice through those doors. I also think of my dad, who's sitting over here. He actually came into the seminar today. And my dad, a couple years ago, we've had a friend in our family, a family friend who has been struggling for years and years with a disease and took a lot of medication and stuff for it. And I don't know all the details of it, but I do know a couple years ago, his kidney started failing and he needed a new kidney. And he was, it was pretty dire. It was not good. He was not doing well. And we were all praying for him and just lifting him up in prayer. And my dad he's been praying for him and thinking about him. And God whispered to him, like, you can give him a kidney, And my dad, I don't think he ever thought about that. Most of us that are alive don't think about donating our organs before we die, do we? But you can, it's possible. And so he started looking into it, and God cracked the door open. And it turns out it's a 7-year wait list for a kidney today in some hospitals. But if you have one donated in your name, you get bumped to the top of the list. So if you have a friend that donates a kidney to another person, they get bumped to the top of the list and they get a kidney immediately. So my dad said, well, why wouldn't I give a kidney to one of my good friends, one of my best friends? And so then the door got cracked open a little bit more. He got tested, and it turns out he was healthy enough to donate a kidney. And so God opened another door there. And then it turned out that, you know, there's a 1 in 100,000, I think, or so chance that you might be a perfect match for someone to give them your actual kidney. And that was true for my dad and for George. He was a perfect match for George. So God opened up another door. And my dad just kept following God's lead in this. And then they went in to get his kidney, and miraculously, my dad's kidneys were, somehow they were younger than they should be. They were like, just, there was an extra artery or something going into one of my dad's kidneys, and it was bigger and healthier, and so they pulled that out, and George got, you know, like a 40-year-old kidney instead of a 70-year-old kidney. And my dad's sitting here, you know, totally healthy, and God just kept opening the doors. And I just see how listening to God's voice, that's where God takes us places we never, ever thought we would go if we just listen to those doors that keep opening. And he could have pulled away at any moment and said, no, I think it's too dangerous, it's too risky. But he just kept saying, yes, I'm going to go through this door. I'm going to go through this door. God's saying yes, you know. So I think we need to listen in our lives. What are those doors that God is cracking open? What are those doors that he's speaking to us through? And the last one is promptings. And this is the one that I think is, you know, this whole kidney thing happened because of a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I think this is the one that maybe most commonly even we can sense every day. There are promptings that God wants to prompt you to bring his kingdom in so many different ways today. Even when you're here at camp, you know, I think there's divine appointments out there that are supposed to happen. Gosh, even yesterday, I wasn't going to share this, but my sister, she's a nurse, and she was down at the boardwalk, and there was a guy that had a seizure, and he fell over, and I don't know if anyone was there or saw that scene, but my sister, the nurse, just jumped on it right away. She was on him, she was working on him, and she had no idea he was a camper here at Mount Hermon. And so, you know, they took him away, and he was okay. He came back, and he was actually in the session last night. They got to meet, but I just think of how God maybe even prompted her to be in that situation at that moment, you know, to care and comfort for that family. As this man was having a seizure. But God does, he prompts us to move in certain ways, to go to certain places, to talk to certain people. So how do we tune into his voice? How do we hear his voice in this? How do we recognize when God's prompting us? Galatians says this, walk by the Spirit. Galatians, what do I have in there? Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also stay in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, stay in step with the Spirit. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit, the word for it in Scripture is the Paraclete. It's the one who comes alongside. So this God's Spirit comes alongside of us, and there is this beautiful dance we get to have on a daily basis with the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget one of my favorite seminary teachers, Walt Hansen, was speaking on the Holy Spirit in Acts, and he brought his wife in, and he turned on some music, and he just danced with her, and they were beautiful dancers together. And so you just could see this flow, this dance they did in front of the whole seminary class. And but it reminds me, when I think about staying in step with the Spirit, this is what it's about. It's about dancing. It's about being in the flow. You know, there's something amazing about watching dancers, isn't there? But people that are really good at dancing together, just the little nuances, the flow, they get to, you know, they can tell little nudges here and there, little ways where your hand is here, your hand's here, the little pushes, the little pulls, all these little nuances. That is what being in the Spirit is all about. It's about getting in the flow of what the Holy Spirit's doing in my life. And how do I do that? You know, I think it is about knowing God's word. That's part of it. But it's also about just, you know, worshiping him on a daily basis. It's about bringing your heart to him. It's about speaking to him and realizing that he's right next to you. It's so easy to get out of the flow of that and to kind of feel clunky throughout your day, isn't it? But God wants us to be in the flow with him. I love Isaiah 30, 21. It says this, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whether you turn to the right or the left. We do this thing on our staff, we call it the love tornado, and about a couple times a year, we just, our staff of about 12 or 13 of us, we get in the van, and we just drive around Santa Barbara, and we pray, and we bring to mind people that might need some encouragement, might need some love, people that are some of our greatest volunteers, or just people that we know that are going through a hard time. And it's amazing what God does, because what God wants to do is he wants to encourage and build up and comfort people. That's what he wants to do. And so if I wrap my life around that, if I say I'm going to be a person who wants to encourage, build up, and comfort other people, that's really the description of the prophetic gift in 1 Corinthians 14. If you look at it, it's building up, comforting, and encouraging. So if I'm going to do that, God's going to lead me because that's what he wants to do, you know, and if I'm available to just be that kind of person. So we go in this van and we drive around all over town, and it's just amazing when we show up at someone's office and we all pile into their office and we say a prayer for them, and they just, I can't tell you how many times they've told us, this was the perfect moment for, I needed this so deeply today. Thank you. You know, just to know that God had orchestrated this, that if we're just available to kind of flow with his spirit, he's going to lead us to do that. There was a moment just for me and kind of realizing the promptings of the Holy Spirit that I want to share a quick story, and then I'm going to lead you in a little exercise. I was at a worship conference down in Los Angeles with about 40 of our staff and leaders and worship team and others. And we had just spent the weekend really soaking in just amazing times of worship and sharing and teaching and listening to God's voice. And so we're working on that. We're in the middle of LA Live, which is, you know, the downtown LA where Staples Centers is and all these different hotels. We're staying in a hotel. There's different people, you know, there's millions of people down there, and there's only about 5,000 of us at this conference. And so we're at breakfast the last morning, and I don't know why, but we're all kind of eating around the table, and I just felt like a nudge to get up and go pack my stuff up and get ready for the day. And so I leave the table, and I go to the elevator, and this guy walks out of the elevator as I'm waiting there, and he just looks right at me, and he's like, are you a Christian? And I'm like, kind of caught off guard, like, yes. And he just says, can I ask you a question? And so I'm like, yeah, sure. So we got kind of pulled him aside. The elevator's over here. We're kind of talking over here as people are going in and out. And he tells me this story about he's there with his girlfriend, and this kind of crazy question he has is, you know, I'm here with my girlfriend, I've been here for the weekend, and she just told me that she doesn't believe in God, that she's an atheist, and I don't know what to do. I'm actually really angry about it because I really love this girl, and I'm mad that she doesn't believe in God. Can you help me? He's like looking for relationship advice. And I have no idea why he picked me out, zero idea, and I'm kind of, you know, eyes, you know, in the headlights kind of. So I just take a deep breath and just pray to God, like, God, what are you doing right now? Why is this guy approaching me? Why is this coincidence happening? You know, why did you bring him here? And so as I pray, a verse just pops in my mind about Psalm 103, where it says, God is slow to anger, and he's compassionate. He's like a father to us. And so I got to share that and just share, give him some encouragement that God is wooing his girlfriend, that God is slow. He's not angry with her. He wants her to know him. And I got to share the gospel with him in that way. And I And I felt the Holy Spirit just saying, you know, keep press into, this guy's name was Diego, press into Diego a little bit and just ask him about his life and how you can encourage him, because this verse, you know, applies to him too. So I started telling him a little bit the verse, and I asked him about his life, and then he just opened up and shared some really, poured his life out, basically, in a matter of a few minutes, that he was an illegal alien, he was living with a lot of fear, that he was just trying to follow God, and he didn't know where to turn. And so I got to spend some time just praying with him and encouraging him and building him up and strengthening him. And I just, that for me, that was a picture of just the prompting of being in the flow of the Spirit, what God can do with you in conversations and what he wants to do. I think he does, as you're speaking to someone sometimes, he wants to just give you an encouragement. He wants to, rather than having you want to tell what's on your heart, do you ever stop and just ask God, what's on your heart for this person? Can I share that with them? And kind of tuning into that, as we get to know God's heart more, we're able to tune more into that and share that with the other person. What's amazing is as we were praying, after we prayed, I'm from Santa Barbara, and I'm like, Diego, well, you know, where are you from? Can I get your contact information and keep up with you? And he said, yeah, I'm from Santa Barbara. We're in the middle of Los Angeles, of all places, you know, and millions of people around us. And he somehow picked me to ask this question to. And so we've texted back and forth, and I've invited him to church. I haven't seen him yet, but I know he's going to come someday. I think God really, what I want to drive home is that God has this desire with you as you wake up in the morning. He beckons you to come and explore the world with him. He wants to share things with you. He wants to whisper to you in your ear. And he wants to direct you in different places, in different conversations. We get so caught up in our to-do list and what we have to do in our fast-paced life, we don't realize this. This is what life is really about, right? It's about bringing God's kingdom wherever we go. And listening to God's voice is part of that. It's a big part of that. I think we need to lean into it. So I'm gonna give you a little exercise. Hopefully you won't think this is too weird. But I think this has helped me tune into God's voice a little bit in my own head, because I don't know about you, but I just get so distracted and so many things coming in and out, those jumping monkeys that they talk about when I sit down to pray. That has ever happened to you, where you just have like all those things, you know, it's like, gosh, can I not pray for like 2 minutes without thinking about 100 different things? And so this has helped me kind of tune into his voice and also think about the mechanics of how God speaks to us, because most of us have not had an audible God voice speak to us. And when it says in scripture, God spoke to Moses, it doesn't, or God spoke to Abraham. You know, we don't know if it was like Abraham, like in like a loud voice, a booming voice. It could have been Abraham was within in tune with God, and God spoke to his heart. You know, we don't know what that was like. And so most of us don't have, I would say, if I said, raise your hand if God's ever spoken to you audibly. Some of you might have heard an audible voice, but most of us, it's not audible. So when you think about hearing, we think about our ears, and what's amazing about how God made hearing is that you know, I share words with you, and they go into your ears, and they hit these little things in your ears. I don't even know all the things they're called, but they hit those things in your eardrums, and then what does it do? There's a chemical reaction, actually, that creates images in your mind, right? That you can understand what I'm saying. I mean, just think about the miracle of hearing. It's kind of mind-blowing to think about it, the mechanics of it. And so God, I think a lot of times God skips, he does skip the physical part, because he's spiritual too. He just goes right to the mind. God can speak to our mind. He can share with us things in our mind's eye. He can skip the ear part, and he can go right to the mind. So if you close your eyes, just for I want you to close your eyes for a minute and just picture a house. See, I said house, and those that went through your ear and in your mind, and you can picture a house in your mind, right? You can picture how big it is. You can kind of even move it around in your mind's eye. You can turn it. You can see things. So there is that. You can open up your eyes again. How many pictured their childhood house? Anybody? Yeah, that's what I did my first time. But how many pictured their current house? How many pictured their dream house? So everyone has, you have some kind of house in your mind, and there's kind of like a, it's almost like a screen that we just have in our head. And I think God can use this for us to speak as we meditate on his word, as we think about the words of scripture, and we use our imagination. God wants to use that to speak to us. He wants us to get in tune and to let him talk to our minds, right? And we do that by being still, by being silent. And so we know, what do we know about God's voice? We know that it's loving, that it's comforting, that it's encouraging, that it's powerful. We know that God can speak to your heart like no one else can, because he knows you more intimately than you even know yourself. He knows exactly what you need to hear. So when you get up in the morning and you spend time with him, he knows. We come to him with that kind of desire to hear his voice. He will speak. He wants to. And we just need to get the noise out of the way. So I'm gonna lead you in just a quick little imagination exercise. If you would close your eyes and I'm gonna just ask God to speak to us now, because I believe he wants to. God, you are amazing. And you're here with us here in this place, this amazing auditorium where you've spoken to so many people and so many hearts through your word and through your spirit. And so just this simple exercise of imagination, God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts where we are right now, each person in this place. Encourage us today, God. We know your voice is a voice of love. So I want you to picture yourself coming home from a long day. You pull up in front of your house or in your garage, and you head out to the mailbox, and there's a letter in there. There's a bunch of letters. There's a bunch of mail. You flip through them. And you realize there is a letter from God addressed to you. So you get excited, you walk inside, you put your stuff down, and you turn the letter open, and you tear it open, and you pull out a card, and it just has one sentence on it. What is that sentence? Don't overthink it. Don't just pass it off. I might even encourage you right now just to write it down. Just write down that one sentence that you see in your mind. And let me just close us in prayer. God, thank you for speaking. Thank you for your love and your grace. And pray you teach us to listen more. God, give us ears to hear. You said that so many times. Give us ears to hear. Give us spiritual ears to hear what you want to share with us each day. Thank you for wanting to whisper sweet things to us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to build us up. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.